Today I want to talk to you about the battleground. Anybody know what the battleground is? Whoo, in your mind. In your mind. We gonna mess with your minds today. But in a good way. In a good way. None of that subliminal stuff. Peter says in the last days, God will pour out his spirit on all flesh. Man, we are so thankful that we have social media where we can see what God is doing in people's lives, the revival that's taking place out there in this nation and across the globe. We wouldn't be able to do that if it wasn't for social media. So I am thankful for that. I was watching a part where a woman was saying that they were taking place and the revival was breaking out, and she had came out and she'd lost inches. And ever since the revival broke out, she's lost considerable amount of inches and weight. I was like, hey, where's that at? I need to go there. But the thing is that we serve the same God. You don't have to go there. I said, he can do it here. Amen. I said, it gets to the place where if you start thinking supernaturally, you're going to experience those supernatural things in your life. I love reading about Azusa. The things that happened there. Limbs were growing out. People who were given a death sentence was miraculously healed and gaining weight for a good reason. Teeth growing back in. How many of you know your uncle might need some teeth? You can't keep gnawing on that steak with two teeth. But the battleground. But just like in the last days, it also talks about there's been prophesied that there's a spirit that's running rampant within the church and within us. You can see it in media. You can see all the junk that's going on with Trump and all that. I said, they don't want him to run. So what do they have to do? Smear. Keep him occupied, keep him out of the race, because they know he may win and all that. So they're doing everything they can so that he wouldn't run. They're allowing you to see him and their lens. And sometimes the enemy will do that. And he will allow other people to see you through their lens, his lens. The enemy comes after your thought life. Comes after. Once you thinking and believing the worst of the worst. If it could happen, it's the worst. Some people hope for the best and believe for the worst. No, you hope for the best, believe for the best. The world will believe for the worst because they're expecting something to happen. Now, if it's going to happen, it's going to happen. But you do have a plan to come against that. We do have a Father that can come against that. We do have the Word of God that can come against that. We do have Jesus' spiritual authority. I love it how it talked about in Luke when he says, I give you my authority. He didn't say anyone else's. He said, I give you mine to trample over snakes and scorpions. Jesus gave us the real thing. You know, and even when it talks about, I've watched too many videos. Y'all know that, right? See, guy picking up snakes in the service. Got them wrapped around and dancing with us. Like, look at this guy here. And of course, he ended up dying because a snake bit him. See, when you take up a snake, it says you will take up snakes and they will not harm you. You know how you take up a snake? By the head and squeeze the life out of that joker. You don't do it by the tail unless you're getting ready to whip some bears with it. Whoop-ah. No. You pick up the snake by the head. And it's not for entertainment. It's not to dance around in and, hey, look at me. It's not for that. It's the authority that Jesus has given us. If the enemy can get you thinking the wrong thoughts, it would be difficult for you to accomplish what God has called you to do. With all the distractions that keep you away from the Father and growing deeper in your love for him. So how do we combat against that? How do we come against those negative thoughts that may come through our minds? We got to get back into line with the Word of God. If I preach and if you learn anything from me, I'm going to point you back to Jesus and I'm going to point you back to the Word of God. Amen. Read His Word. and develop a heart of gratitude. Develop a heart of gratitude, a heart of thankfulness. Now, when was the last time you just stopped and just think, Lord, I thank you. I just thank you for this day. I just thank you for waking up in the morning. I thank you for the breath that is in my body. Lord, I thank you for my wife. I thank you for my husband. I thank you for our children. I thank you for the life that I have in you. I thank you for my freedom in Christ. When was the last time you just done that? Thank God. You know, that will begin to change your circumstances just as far as your emotions are concerned. They'll begin to shift. A heart of gratitude will set you on a whole nother level when you're able to do that on a consistent basis, not just around Thanksgiving time. Oh, I'm thankful for this turkey. I'm thankful. I said, well, we can all do that. But as I'm going to show you, we're supposed to be doing that every season. Problems will come and go in our lives. People will come and go throughout our lives. Friends will come and go throughout our lives, but our Father will always be there for us no matter what, whether we want him there or not. He will always be there for us. He said he'll never leave you or quit on you, forsake you, no matter how bad things become in your life. And you may be ready to throw in the towel. We got anybody in here that's ready to throw in a towel in life? Just the fact that you're alive lets you know there's another round. You're winning, whether you believe that or not. It all depends on whose lens you look at. If you look at Satan through Satan's lens, if you reading his script for your life, yeah, you're probably losing. I don't go off the script that somebody else has written for me. I go off his, and I'm walking that out. Don't really care what so-and-so over here is writing about me. Don't really care what so-and-so's over here putting out about me. I'm going off of his script. And so many times we maybe want to get caught up in what people say about us, but we don't have to. That's a choice. Lord, I'm thankful for that knucklehead over there. I thank you for him. I thank you for my enemies. Because without them, life will be boring. How good is it? I mean, that's, you know, you can scrimmage all day long and in whatever sport you come to, but when it comes game time, you're ready because you've been practicing. You're ready for the real thing now. You can only wrestle your sister for so long. You're ready to wrestle. You're ready to get out there, right? You be taking down Cassidy, Brent, right? That's fine. You're ready for the real test. So ask yourself this question. Where did it all start to go south if you ever felt like throwing in the towel? Did it start? Right here. The thought process. Your mind. That's where he wants you. The enemy can mess with your mind all day long. And you know that spirit of like Jezebel. People don't like me talking about Jezebel, but I really don't care. If you want to wipe out all the pulpits in America, have them teach on this subject. We'll see who shows up that Sunday. Not to glorify the occult, because we preach about the gospel of the kingdom of God, no doubt about it. But most people who operate it won't preach on it at all. I think I've already done it about 4 times. Not because I'm perfect. Because we all may have a trait in us that God is working out of us by the renewing of our mind. He's transforming us. Well, I'm not perfect. I said, no. I when I was studying all that stuff out, I was like, dear God, I did some of this. Lord, help me. But the reality of it is I call them a cerebral assassin. That's what they do, because the enemy is after your mind. He's after your thoughts. Jesus says we will have troubles in our lives, but he also told us not to fear because he has overcome this world. He's done it before, and he has shown you how to overcome it. No one has overcome anything like Jesus has before. We have prophets of old. They didn't overcome it. Jesus was the one who said, you will have troubles, but not to fear. I've overcome it. We're rolling with him. We're not rolling with anyone else who fell short. We're rolling with the one who conquered hell. We're rolling with the one who conquered death from the grave. We're rolling the one who was resurrected. We're rolling the one who is seated in heavenly places, and we are seated with him. We are rolling with the one who is the one, who is the one, who is the one that's never lost. You're not rolling with just anyone. You're rolling with Jesus. You want to achieve success, real success in life? Follow the steps and teachings of Jesus. Put your faith in him. Put your trust in him. People can have a lot of money in their bank accounts, but they can't cast out a demon. How good is that? They can cleanse the leper. They can't cleanse the lepers. They can't raise the dead. They can't heal the sick, but they can sure throw a great networking social media pitch that'll cost you a lot of money. But they can't do what Jesus has given them authority to do. Great speakers, but no power. You can't buy the anointing. And each and every one of you have that anointing on you. You may not have that bank account yet. Some may have. And you do have the anointing with you. Thank God for that. But you can't buy that. Jesus didn't need all that to conquer the world. It was his close relationship with the Father that he had. He was the Word made flesh, and he operated in the anointing and the power that he gives to his bride. He's our example, not other people, not other leaders. I'm not raising up anyone to be like me. I want to raise them up to be like Jesus. I want to help them become more like Christ. I'm going to point them to his Word. But this is what the Word says. Well, I might say this is my opinion. No. My opinion don't matter. It's about Jesus. He's our example. You know, it amazes me when people say, listen, well, God had done this. And Jesus saying, Philip said, Lord, show us the Father. He said, Philip, if you don't believe my word, at least believe my works. I and the Father are one. If you're not believing what I'm saying, what I'm speaking, and the power and the anointing that's coming out of my mouth, believe in the works that I am doing. And what was Jesus doing? If we look at his life through the Gospels, he is raising the dead. He is cleansing the lepers. He is feeding the poor. He is doing everything that the Father had done, but they were so blinded because of religion had blinded them from the Father's love. They didn't know. They were ready for the wrath. Jesus didn't come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. Rain down fire from heaven. No. No, you don't know what you're talking about. The Son of Man did not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. Hallelujah. If the enemy can get you to believe that you are something else when you're really not, he's got you. When you're dealing with that, when you're going against him, the one thing he wants to do is strip you of your identity. Can we get some air up here? I feel one little bead coming out. See, you're not like your friends. You're not who you used to be. Your past doesn't dictate your present or your future. If that's the case, then Paul wouldn't have become one of the most influential people in the Bible. He called himself the chief sinner. Literally. Took people out of homes because they believed in the name of Jesus. You think your past is worse? No, it's not. And if the enemy can keep you in your past, there's not much you can do. You got to let go of that. You got to break free from that. You got to resolve that. It's got to be resolved in your heart. It's got to be resolved in your mind. Listen, somebody bring it up. You can laugh about it. Or better yet, say, well, that wasn't me. That was somebody that was dead. I've learned my lesson, so we're moving on. That's not the way God sees me right now. You're going to have to reject every thought, every idea that may come from the enemy and from people who the enemy is speaking through. In Philippians 3, if you got your Bibles open up, it says, I don't mean to say, this is New Living Translation, that I have already achieved these things or that I have already reached perfection, but I press on to possess that perfection for which Christ Jesus first possessed me. No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. Paul didn't claim perfection, and neither should anyone else. But as it was his goal to press on to perfection, it should be our goal to press on. Your walk with Jesus wasn't just a one-time deal and then go back to doing what you've always done, but it's constantly trusting in the Father, constantly. Consistently trusting in the Father every single day throughout your entire time here on earth. It's trusting in him. Placing your faith daily in who Jesus is and what he has done for you. If you keep looking back, it will be even more difficult for you to truly enjoy a healthy relationship with your Father. Now, can you imagine just getting in front of him and just constantly talking about your past? He's like, what are you talking about? That's over with. Time to let that go. Get over it. Hey, I love you. This is who I say you are. You are who I say you are. Get over it. People will look back at what you've done, and that's going to happen. And they're not perfect either. But when you are pressing on to perfection, the little things stay being little. When you're pressing on to perfection, the little things stay being little rather than making them giants in your own life. Paul wanted more of Jesus in his life. He was not satisfied with his current condition as far as the Spirit was. That's why he said, I'm pressing on. I want more. He truly wanted to be more like Jesus in every way, shape, or form. And Jesus lived a sinless life and was perfect. Paul wanted that for himself and for the church. Now, that's an incredible work to accomplish when you're looking back. See, when you're focused on how you used to be rather than who you are in Christ, you will always be able to defeat the enemy and keep him under your feet when you truly know that your identity lies in Jesus. It's not your income. It's not your social media following. It's not your job title, but in Christ alone. You belong to Jesus, and Jesus belongs to you. So try not to be so distracted by other people. You are blessed to be a blessing. You're blessed to be a blessing. So when you allow the word to transform you by the renewing of your mind, you will start seeing things a lot clearer. It may not be this whole huge epiphany type ordeal, but you'll start seeing things a lot clearer. I said just a little bit here. It's just the veil gets pulled back just a little bit. Just a little bit. You start saying things, and the more and more you go deeper with him, the more and more you draw closer to him, the more and more he'll start opening up more to you. In Philippians 1:6, it says, and I am certain that God, who began the good work within you, will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns. Now, how many men, without holding up your hand and without the wife nudging them, got unfinished projects at your house? Kristen, stop looking at me like that. Let's do this. No, see, our Father is so good that he will complete the work that is in you. But not everybody sees this completed work because they choose to disobey him. Give yourself permission. If you get to the place to where it seems like your thoughts are just whooping you left and right, give yourself permission to get away, spend some time with the Lord and his word. Other people may call it isolation, but all it is just solitude and prayer. They don't get the right script for your life. God, who started the work in you, will see it through to the end. He does not leave anything that he creates unfinished. But see, the enemy just wants to tear everything up. He wants you waging a war within yourself. It's a battleground. Renew our minds. We have to renew it. See, your thoughts are priceless. So don't waste another minute allowing the enemy to rent space in your mind. Fix your thoughts. In Philippians 4:8, it says this, "And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise." That word "fixed" means not subject to change. To firmly set in the mind. Fix. You know good and well, when you fixed on something, when you purposed something, and when as far as your mind is, you're not, it's immovable. Like Chiefs fans, I don't understand why they like Mahomes. Well, I mean, they're fixed on that. They're fixed. They're set. And not just what is true, which is the word of God, but who is the truth? Who is the way? Who is the life? Who is that? Where have you heard that before? That's Jesus. That's Jesus. See, it's not about you. It's about Jesus. It's always bringing you back to him. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Think about what kind of person you will be in the next year or in the next 5 years. Are you going to be the same person 5 years from now? Are you going to be the same person 10 years from now, still stuck? Because we should be getting better each day. Every day I say, wait a minute. Every day I got a little bit better. Why? Because of my relationship with Jesus. What used to bug me before doesn't bug me today. Because I got peace about that now. What used to tick me off, what used to trigger me, don't trigger me anymore. You know you're growing. Man, I used to get upset over that thing, but not anymore. I don't yell at my kids and throw a shoe at them anymore. For your moms, for your dad. Now it's a broomstick. No. If you're not willing to change those thoughts, you will end up being stuck and never pressing on towards the goal of perfection in Christ. Forgetting the past and moving ahead. If that means you have to end relationships to move forward, do it. If God is working on you, I said, you got to give yourself time to heal. You got to go in this direction right here. Sometimes you may end up and feel like you're out in the wilderness, but you're not alone. Got to bring you back. Got to bring you back. You can still love them. Some people just can't go where the Father is leading you. When you're going in a different direction and this person's going this way, that person's going that way, you got to go where the Lord is leading you to go. Sometimes your friendships with your friends, the Lord is pulling me more over here. Now, you going to go party? No, man, I'm going to go to this Bible study here. Oh, man, that Bible study's weak, man. You don't need to, we're going to be doing all this. I'm going to this Bible study. Why? The Lord's pulling me. You can come if you want. Oh, no, I'm good. That's all right. Peace. You want me to hang with you, but you don't want to hang with me. I should tell you something. They don't care about your salvation. Why should you care about living a life that's dishonorable to God? They don't care if you miss it. They don't care if your relationship with Jesus isn't good, because they don't have one. You got to care. That's got to be something that you value. It isn't about your obedience to them. It's about your obedience to him. It's not about your obedience to them. It's about your obedience to him. Saul lost his kingdom because of his disobedience to God. Because it was about himself. Samson lost his anointing because it was about him. He was disobedient. You wasn't supposed to tell anyone where you got your strength from. If you have to be more obedient to people than you are to Jesus, that right there will work negatively on your thought life and your heart. Please God, not people. Live your life by faith. Go with him even if everyone else is against you. And going with God will always lead you back to his word. When you let your sinful nature control your mind, that will lead to death. A carnal mind is enmity against God. Spiritually minded is having life and peace. Being spiritually minded, being heavenly minded is having life and peace. If you want the peace of God to rule in your hearts, think on him. Give him gratitude and praise. Think on the good things of God. God thoughts towards you are good thoughts. You know that? Our thoughts towards him should be good thoughts. It should be reciprocated. In Psalm 139:17, it says this, "How precious are your thoughts about me, O God. They cannot be numbered." God is always thinking good thoughts about you. You don't ever have to worry about that. I'm going to go to him. Shoot. He's going to tell me the truth. He's going to tell me when I'm missing it. He's going to tell me when I'm that he still loves me. He's going to tell you those things on a constant basis because he wants to see your expected end. He's already written it out for you. He wants you walking in that direction. Some people will pay good money to have others give their opinions about themselves. You should care what he says about you. The Father is not going to beat you up. He'll tell you the truth, and he'll speak the truth, but he's not going to beat you up. In Isaiah 26:3 says this, "You will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you, all whose thoughts are fixed, firmly set on you." You don't necessarily have to get back to reality. Just stay thinking on the heavenly and continue to be earthly good to others. And I leave you with this. Philippians 4 says this, "Be cheerful with joyous celebration in every season of life." What do you mean, every season? Winter, spring, summer, fall, that season. Yeah, it could be that season. If you even want to get, I wouldn't say deeper, I said just go a different route. What season are we in now? Football season, volleyball, in every season. Well, that's kind of out there. But in every season of life, it says, be cheerful with joyous celebration in every season of life. There's never a season where we shouldn't be cheerful and joyous. Let your joy overflow. He says, let gentleness be seen. Let me stay on that again. Every season, be cheerful and joyous. We can be cheerful and joyous with what's coming up because people celebrate Thanksgiving and Christmas and what have you. And it's easy to be joyous and cheerful in that season. I don't know about you, but we start decorating in March. No. She loves that season. She loves Christmas season. But we're supposed to be this way every season. Around Thanksgiving, we want to be giving. We want to be happy. We want to help. But we're supposed to be, but Christ wants us doing this all the time, every season. The way those emotions come, not that they should rule you or anything like that, but that's the way he wants every believer to be. He wants believers to be given. He wants believers to help. He wants believers to be joyful. He wants believers to be cheerful. He wants believers to be rooted in his word. He wants believers every single season of our life. This is what God wants us to do. And sometimes we just make it seasonal. And then the other ones are just acting like the Grinch. Every season of our lives, let your joy overflow and let gentleness be seen in every relationship, for our Lord is ever near. We know Jesus is coming. That's actually the title of our Christmas stuff. He's coming. He's coming. He says, don't be fooled in different directions or worried about a thing. Be saturated in prayer throughout each day, offering your faith-filled, not worry-filled, not fear-filled, request before God with overflowing gratitude. Even though God may know every detail about your life, tell him every detail of your life. He didn't say tell people every detail. That would be crazy. But he says tell him every detail of your life. Then God's wonderful peace that transcends human understanding will guard your heart and mind through Christ. When you do those things, God's wonderful peace that transcends human understanding will guard your heart and mind through Christ. Your relationship matters. Tell God. Sit down, talk with him. Talk. Don't complain. Don't worry. Talk with him. Be real. Some people don't like others being real. I said, be real. Be 100 with God. Because he already knows anyway. And be real with him. And I guarantee you, he's going to be real with you. There is no shadow or turning of who he is and how he is. He's a loving God. He's a forgiving father. He's a caring father. He's a healing father. He's a correcting father. Father. And when God corrects and disciplines, he does it with his word, not with any sickness, not with any plague, not with any disease. He does it with his word. Period. He's not putting those negative thoughts in. The enemy is. Sometimes you are. Bring it to captivity. Put it in captivity, throw it out. Quit allowing it to rent space in your mind. You fight that every day? I said, every single day. So when you wake up in the morning, get your mind right. Get your heart right. Sit before the Lord. Start it off right. If you forgot, do it in the evening. Do it while you're at work. Do it on your way to work. Do it while you're in the shower. Do it while you're eating breakfast. But when those negative thoughts come, I said, then it becomes, it gets in our heart, and then it may get in our heart, and it may come out of our mouth, and if it comes out of our mouth, we might start acting on it or what have you. It's like, and then it just becomes a whole whirlwind of junk that you don't ever want to get to. Who hadn't been there before? The battleground. Guard it. You can't stop those negative thoughts from coming in, but you can keep them from laying an egg in your head and just staying there all week long. All day long, and then it's there. Then you wake up with it. You go to bed with it. You wake up with it, and then it's throughout the whole day. And then you do it. It's the same cycle over and over and over and over again. And you keep talking about the same thing over and over and over again. You're trying to figure out how can I get this out of my head. You're gonna have to get back into the line with the Word of God, and just start reading it. And I guarantee you, when you start reading it, read it out loud. I said some people. Read it the way you need to read it. I read it out loud because I'm a loud reader. I read it quietly. I like to hear myself read it. You want your body to calm down? You want that peace? Spend time with him. That's an old remedy that has always worked. There's nothing new about that. Spending time in God, you're going to have that peace in you. Regardless if the world is being chaotic around us, you're going to have that peace. Some people face a lot more turmoil than we ever had, and you can see it's like, man, my goodness, how are they? I said, it's their relationship with Jesus. How are they keeping it cool? It's their relationship with Jesus. People have hell break out in their lives. I said, who's ever had that before? I mean, I'm just talking about your family just wrecked. But God was there the whole time. He gives you that peace that surpasses all understanding. How is it possible? Your relationship with him. Worry is meditating on a problem. Prayer is meditating on the word and speaking the word to God. And he's going to speak his word right back. And some people are looking for breakthrough, and I'm just letting you know. I said, breakthrough is here. Breakthrough is here. You just got to spend time with him. Lord, what's the next move? Where are we supposed to go? What are we supposed to do? You ain't got to worry about that. All you need is one word from the Lord, and that will just change your life forever if you roll with it. Amen? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Stay obedient to him. Even if everyone is telling you that's wrong, you shouldn't do it, as if it doesn't line up with his word. If it lines up with his word, stay obedient. He's going to tell you things that's going to line up with his word. They just may not like it. So that's just life. I had my mom tell me, called me up, and I had her on speakerphone with my daughter-in-law, my son over at the house. And she has the audacity to tell me I need to start losing some weight. Get behind me. So cameraman, you can't get me on a side angle anymore. Got that one here, one here, one here, one here. But see, even our Heavenly Father will be honest with us too. Hey, time to get up. Throw up some sit-ups. Why? Because we need you for the long haul. The end is coming. My son's coming. Jesus is coming. We need you to fight towards the end. We need you to get ready. Come on. Father God, we thank you for today. We thank you for all you've done. And Lord, we are ready, as Brandon said last week, we are ready. And Lord, we just ask that you can just continue to pour out your love and your spirit on each and every person here, Lord. And we just thank you for our life, health, and strength in you. We thank you, Father God, that that every thought that does not line up with your word, we rebuke it right now in the name of Jesus. We rebuke it from erecting any kind of idol in our lives to where it causes us to miss you. And Lord, we speak to any sickness, any disease that people may have accepted in their lives as normal. It is not normal. It is straight from the pit of hell. And we come against that right now in the name of Jesus. And we thank you for your healing power and your deliverance in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, stand to your feet. Did that help anyone today? That helped me. I have to preach it again to myself.
Thank you for joining us today. If you want more information about Westview Church or would like to listen to a previous broadcast, we invite you to check out our website at westviewchurch.tv. or like our Facebook page at Westview Church of Hayes.